His goodness, He's still good. I would say that it's probably one of the earliest truths that we learned as children growing up, that God is good. It's the simplicity of God's wonder, God's marvelousness. And it's something simple that you and I can easily say to ourselves to remind us that God is good in all things. The words are simple, but yet they carry such a deep meaning, something that can be rooted deep within our hearts. We know that God's love for us is very deep. It runs so deep. And that He cares for us so much. His will for our lives is perfect. And holiness is what He desires for you and what He desires for all people. The standard of life, the standard of righteousness has been made possible, or we can obtain God's goodness by believing in Him. We are not good, but we can obtain God's goodness by believing in Him. The expression of God's goodness is revealed in His actions. Everything that God does is just, and everything that God does is righteous. It may not make sense to us, and we may not fully understand, but we must know that God is a righteous and fair and just God. God's love for us doesn't change when we're bad, when we have bad thoughts, when we do something that we know is wrong. God's love for us doesn't change. It does not falter, nor does He alter His love, His feelings for you and for me. Most of the time, well, I won't say most of the time, it's all of the time, it is His character and it is our behavior in how He deals with us. His character is not wavering. Our behaviors waver. There may be days, or you may go weeks, or maybe months, where you are just on fire and you're doing everything that you know is right and just in God's eyes, but then something happens and you begin to stray away, and the next thing you know, you've strayed really far away from the course. But God is still there to bring you back in. God is still there to hold you close and to show you just how good He is. As a loving Heavenly Father, He responds to our disobedience with discipline. And I imagine all of you sitting here today, you've been disciplined by your parents, by your grandparents, but you have probably also been disciplined by God. And sometimes it's a subtle discipline. And sometimes it may be a bone-shattering discipline that God has rendered in your life. But that does not take away the goodness of who God is. The Lord's goodness is expressed in a multitude of ways. He is our Creator. He is our sustainer of life, and He created us to be His people. We are His people. He created us to worship Him so that we could experience His goodness, His love, and His mercies. Every single breath that you take is a blessing from God. And we should not take those breaths for granted, as Kevin alluded to this morning in the children's message. We do take so many things for granted. We all do. I do. We all do. We are blessed beyond all measures. And we do find ourselves taking things for granted. We take God's goodness for granted. But the greatest expression of God's love is the giving of His Son on the cross. And that is the greatest expression of His goodness. Believing in God's goodness is one of the pillars of our faith. We all can substantiate our faith in various reasons of why we believe and what God has done within our lives. But the goodness of who God is the backbone of what we are and who we believe in. And that being God Almighty. He gives us great confidence in knowing how much He loves us. God is so good to us during the happy times, and He's good to us during those times of trials and tribulations. The same God who is good to us in the good times, He's there in the bad, and He doesn't alter, He doesn't waver from those things. And He is there for you always and forevermore. And we're going to look at this psalm today. It's only five verses in the book of Psalm 100. Only five verses, but very impactful verses. And so if you would, just follow along with me as I read from Psalm 100. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Within these five verses, they were written as a praise hymn, as most psalms are. But this is a praise hymn of thanksgiving. This is a praise hymn of thanksgiving that was used in the temple each and every day. They looked at these verses, they looked at these words, and they praised God. They recognized His goodness, and they thanked Him for His goodness. That verse that we read together or followed along with me in verse 5 where it says, the Lord is good. It says His mercies are everlasting and His truths endureth forever or all generations. That is a verse that will stand the test of time. That is a verse that you can apply to your heart right now and believe it and know that He will sustain you no matter what you deal with in life. This particular psalm here in Psalm 100 is a clear celebration of God's kingship. And not only that, it's a collection of celebration. It kind of brings together all of the psalms prior to 100 that were created to give thanks and praise to God. With great exuberance, we are to recognize His goodness for what He does for us, and that He is the Lord who is worthy of our praise. He is the Lord who is worthy of our worship. This hymn literally invites all of the earth to join in the song of praise. Now, when I say the song of praise, it doesn't necessarily mean standing and singing, but it means just singing a song of praise from within your heart, stating out loud what God has done for you and how you have been blessed. And you can recount the last few days that you probably had. And of course, some of you who have children, you were cooped up with your children yesterday because of the weather, and you might not have felt so blessed, because your children were probably running around making noises and ransacking the house, and you're trying to keep everything clean. But be thankful that we have those children to make that mess. I'm guilty of that. Robert, Michael, and Brody were driving me crazy yesterday. They were making the most noise of any two children I've ever heard in my life. And I do think they conspire to do that, to get me and Amanda in an uproar. But even though they were loud and rambunctious yesterday, I'm still thankful for them. I'm thankful that God allowed me to be a husband and to be a father of two healthy young boys. We're to find a reason to give thanks in all that we do and in all that God blesses us with. His steadfast love endures forever proves this hymn was designed for giving thanks. This is the utmost important part of this hymn. The title is God is Good, but we can also say that God is love. God is great. His love endures forever. These are things that we should think about during this Thanksgiving season. We know that Thanksgiving has already passed us by, but really it's a continuum as we give thanks to God in Christmas, the season of Christmas, the giving of His Son, allowing His Son to leave His throne on high that we could experience life everlasting through the believing of His only begotten Son. We should count it as a privilege of being the sheep of His pasture. Look back at verse 1 where it reads, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Make a joyful noise, all the earth. The Lord is the creator of all people. Now, this was geared towards the Israelites, but God is the creator of all people. You and I, the Gentile nation, and so we too should be able to give Him praise and to give Him honor, to make a joyful noise. If you would, turn to Psalm 95 and look at verses 1 through 3 with me. Psalms 95. Verse 1 says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Notice that it says, for the Lord, capitalized L, is a great God, capitalized G, and a great King, capitalized K, above all, lowercase g, gods. There is no other, and there'll never be another. He is the Alpha, and He is the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is life everlasting. Looking at verse 2 of Psalm 100, it reiterates the importance of serving the Lord with gladness. Now, that's something that we may be guilty of sometimes, that we don't often serve the Lord with gladness as we should. We may have things weighing on our minds and our hearts that we need to give to God, but we won't relinquish it. So it may make it difficult for you to serve the Lord with gladness. Enter His courts with praise. That's what He wants us to do. We are to be aware of God's goodness. We're to be aware of the great privilege it is to come here and worship Him in a cool and controlled climate. A beautiful and controlled climate. An area where we can come and we're not persecuted as we walk in those doors. A place where we can find comfort and peace. God, who created us to worship Him, He created us to be His people. He wants us to recognize His joys that He has, that He can bestow upon you. He wants you to recognize that in His presence and in His presence of being in your life. That's what He wants. That's what He wants to see. Verse 3 goes on to say, "Know you that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Know that the Lord is God. He made us. He made you. He has a specific purpose for your life. But if you don't follow Him, you will not obtain that purpose. You will obtain a self-centered, self-serving purpose, not the purpose that God intended." The premise behind this verse is coming from the point of view of the Israelites, because they were able to recognize that God is the one who created them. But as I've already stated to you this morning, God created the Israelites, that is His chosen people, but He created you as well, me, the Gentile. And when you come to know Him, you are part of His people. He chose you before the foundations of the world to be a child of the one true King. We are His people, and we are the sheep of His pasture. Psalm 95:7 says, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." Aren't you glad that we can go to Him and that He can be our shepherd, that He can prod us along, that He is there to make sure if we do begin to falter and alter our course, He's there to pull us back to where we need to be. But the key to that is this: you've got to be able to recognize that you're beginning to waver off the course and then be willing to allow Him to bring you back. And truly, I would say, if you have fully repented within your heart and you are a child of God, you will feel that pulling. You will feel Him drawing nigh unto you, and you will not resist that. You have the capabilities of resisting Satan because of the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you are really a child of God, you're not going to resist God. You're going to want to come unto Him. Now, we do know that individuals can pull away from. They can stray away from God, and their hearts become so hardened that they don't remember the goodness of who God is and what God has done in their lives. That's why it's so important that you don't take God for granted, that you don't take His word for granted, that you don't take these gatherings on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and on Wednesdays, and any other time that we gather together, you don't take those opportunities for granted, because when that moment passes you by, that is another moment that you will not be able to get back. There may be someone sitting here today who has not made a profession of faith, who has not realized that they have not fully experienced the goodness of God. And if you don't make that proclamation today, tomorrow may not ever come. No one has ever been saved tomorrow. You have to realize that you're in need of a Savior to experience God's goodness. Verse 4 says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." This verse literally means, there's no symbolism here. This verse literally means, this was back in the days of the Old Testament way, the Israelites, as they came into the temple, as they entered the gate, they entered through a gate to get to the temple. This literally meant, enter that gate as you go to the temple with praise within your heart. A reason to give thanks, a reason to recognize that you believe in God Almighty. And so that's important for us. We should understand and know that when we gather here, we should enter here with a with a desire to praise Him, to worship Him, not to catch up on last night's ball games, not to catch up on yesterday's ball games, not to catch up on what you did through the Thanksgiving holidays. If you have those conversations in between, there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's on your mind as you sit here this morning, if lunch is on your mind as you sit here this morning, if what you have to do tomorrow before you go to work is on your mind as you sit here this morning, you're missing the opportunity of why you're even here in the first place. That is not the point of why we gather here. We don't come here so that we can get a peace of mind because we're in a quiet place. You should come here to worship God, whether it be me and just one individual here or whether it be you here by yourself. You come here. We come here. We should enter His courts with praise, be glad that we have a place to come and worship. And so I ask you that question. When you come here this morning, when you gather in His name, do you gather here with the mindset and with your heart set on God? Do you? Oftentimes the answer is going to be no if we're honest. Because we have so much going on in our minds. We have so much going on within our hearts. And we're not willing to relinquish it and give it to God and taste His goodness. That's what He wants us to do. Verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. His love endures forever. He remains faithful to all generations." If you would, turn to Psalm 23. I'm just going to read the last verse. Psalms 23, verse 6. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." God is the surely goodness and the mercy. That's who's following you. All the days of my life. And I love the end of this verse. And I want you, as I read this, I want you to imagine. Close your eyes if you need to. And imagine what this will be like. When we get to experience this, it says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Think about that. Think about all the things that just go wrong in your life day in and day out. Even reflect on how wonderful of Thanksgiving you may have had. But nothing will outdo the indwelling of the Lord God Almighty in His house forever and ever and ever. There's nothing we will experience on this earth that will supersede that. God is full of generosity. Now, if you would turn to Psalms 25. Psalms 25, verses 7 and 8 read, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way." Do not remember the sins of my youth. Aren't you glad that He doesn't remember the sins of your youth? Aren't you glad that He doesn't remember your past failures? God is good. He is always willing to forgive. I imagine all of us sitting here this morning, myself included, haven't forgiven an individual for something they've done wrong in your life. And it may have been years and years and years ago. And that person may not even be around anymore. But we've all, myself included, are in need of probably forgiving many people for things that we've done to them. Or maybe we really didn't do anything wrong in the first place, but yet we still hold a grudge. Aren't you glad that God doesn't hold grudges? Could you imagine how that would be if God did hold grudges? There would be no way that we could survive. The phrases used within those verses there reminded me of a particular verse or two verses actually, in Exodus 34, 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth." That's the one word I wish I could remain, is to be long-suffering. That's a hard word to endure, to be long-suffering, to understand and be merciful, to be gracious, to always be abounding in the goodness and the truth of who God is. He does that every single day. And just think about this. Think about all of the things that you've done where God has needed to forgive you, and then multiply that times every individual that's ever walked the face of this earth. That's how good He is. He's willing to forgive all people. By simply confessing, you can receive this forgiveness and to receive His goodness. The foundation of joy for God's people is His enduring character. It's of His gracious love and the keeping of His promise. That's something else that we should hold fast to, that His love endures forever, but also His promise will endure forever. He will always remain faithful to all generations. Exodus 34, 7 says, "Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the children's children to the third and the fourth generation." What this verse simply means is God's goodness, God's love, God's forgiveness is for generation times thousand, times thousand, times thousands. It's never ending. Psalms 100 verse 5 said, "His love endures forever." This verse says that God keeps His steadfast love for thousands. And what a promise of that is, to know that the lives that were lived before us, those same truths were to them. The lives that will live after you and I, those same truths will be presented to them. But here's the thing. You sit here today, you have a job to do. There's no monetary benefits to it on this earth. But oh, it'll be worth it all to do the job that God has asked you to do for Him. When He takes you into His own and He allows you to enter into His gates, we have a job to tell people of who Jesus is. We have a job to tell people of why we enjoy Thanksgiving within our hearts, not just on the fourth Thursday in November, but every day. Why we truly have Thanksgiving within our hearts, why we're filled with joy. It's because of God. It's because of God's love. Genesis 17, 7 says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be to God and to you and your descendants thereafter." Once again, another example, more proof. This is in Genesis. We can read in Genesis. We can go on and we can study in Revelation that God's proof and God's truths are all throughout His Bible. He is there to care for all descendants, the Israelites, the Jews, and the Gentiles alike. God's love is for all people. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter of the color of skin you have. It doesn't matter how much money you make or don't make. God loves you, and His mercies and His graciousness will endure forever. If you would turn to Psalm 103. Verses 17 and 18. Verse 17 reads, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them." Now, suppose that verse ended by saying, "to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments," period. There's a huge difference in remembering God's commandments and remembering and then going and doing them. So that's why that was added there, because of the very important reason that we must remember the commandment, but not only remember it, but go out and keep the commandments that God has given us. And that is your responsibility. That is my responsibility. We are to go out and to keep His commandments. We're to go out and teach others the importance of His love. So as worshipers of God, you should take delight in knowing that God will preserve you forever. Take comfort in knowing that if you live the life God has called you to live, you can leave the legacy of Christ behind. If you recall the song that the youth sang last week, that song was about leaving a legacy, not a self legacy, but a Christ-filled legacy. And that's what we have to do. Is it easy? No. Will it be easy? No. Not always. But that's okay. Remember, we have a shepherd, a good shepherd. We are part of his flock. We are his children out in the pasture. He's there to lead us and to guide us. This is an extension of God's endless love, and that it will endure forever while he reigns forever. Handel Messiah sang or wrote the famous song, "And he shall reign forever and ever." You will reign with him forever and ever. Do you believe this? Have you accepted this? Do you know this? God is good. Give thanks to Jesus. Give him praise for what is due unto him. As I've already told you this morning, we cannot let a calendar tell us when we are to be thankful. It's as simple as understanding and knowing and believing and saying those three words. Say them with me. God is good. Let us pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. And God, I do thank you for this opportunity that you provided once again. Lord, I pray today, God, that you will continually show us your goodness when we do not deserve. Father, that any time we're able to gather here in your name, or God, really, as believers in you, no matter where we go, that we serve you and that we serve you with gladness, not begrudgingly, Father. Because the more we serve you, the closer we'll grow to you. And Father, of course, as good as you are, you will pour more blessings upon us, even though we do not deserve them. But the greatest blessing of all, the greatest gift of all, is the sending of your Son. God, I pray if there's someone sitting here this morning, if they have not received that gift of life eternal, Father, I pray they do not leave here today before they realize that they're in need of a Savior, God. I want them to come unto you, all who are laden, heavy laden, God, and you've told us in your word that you will give us rest. You're a good Father, God, and we love you, and we praise you. In your glorious name, I do pray. Amen.